You're listening to EPN, the E-Podcast Network.
Hello, this is Eric Dye, and welcome to the E-Musician Podcast Show, where we feature different individuals in the music industry as you get a chance to hear how, as musicians and entrepreneurs, they are growing their fan base, their experiences, successes, and or setbacks, and more. Today, we are visiting with Melvin Taylor, one of the greatest guitarists in the history of rock, blues, and jazz. This self-taught master was influenced by many of history's true guitar pioneers, including Albert King, Jimmy Reed, Wes Montgomery, and Jimi Hendrix. So it won't surprise you to know that Melvin's ability has been recognized by many of his fellow guitar and rock greats. In fact, he's appeared on the same ticket with, check this out, Carlos Santana, B.B. King, Buddy Guy, George Benson, Al Di Meola, and Chick Corea. He can't count among his fans the likes of Mick Jagger and Patti LaBelle. Mr. Melvin Taylor, welcome to the E-Musician Podcast Show here on EPN.
Eric, thanks for having me, man.
You are welcome. It's my pleasure. So how did you get started in the music world? What made you want to become a professional musician?
Well, it all started, at the age of 8 years old. My uncles would play the guitar, and when they would put the guitar down, what I would do is pick the guitar up and try to, play whatever they played, of course. And I guess from that point on, there was no turning back because, man, I liked the way it felt. And I've always been fascinated by the guitar. I just liked the sound. And, of course, I could have probably played piano or another instrument but the guitar was just it. The guitar was my everything. So I just said, well, I'm going to teach myself to play the guitar, because I didn't have, of course, we didn't have money to go to music school and take lessons, because all the kids in the neighborhood, most of them had taken lessons and, gone to music school and everything like that, but we couldn't afford it. There were five kids with a stay-at-home mom. A dad that worked, so it was just pretty difficult, to come up with money to send me to music school, so I said, well, I'm going to teach myself to play the guitar, and I believe I did.
I believe you did, without a question. That's amazing. Tell us about Chicago and the influence that city had on you and your career as a jazz artist.
Well, actually, Eric, my style of playing is basically all across the board. I mean, I've been called a jazz player. I've been called a rock player. I've been called, just many things. But, I mean, which is basically true. Because I took the music from my era or whatever I was hearing, and I just sort of combined it with my own style. At first, it wasn't accepted by a lot of people because they didn't make up their mind what you want to play. I said, well, I'm an all-around musician because I was around all styles of music. Coming up, there was Jimmy Reed. There was, there were just so many, man. Otis Rush. There were all these different sounds. All these people had influence on me. Jimi Hendrix, Wes Montgomery. There were just so many different styles until I couldn't just gravitate toward one style. That's why I play all of those different styles of music, because there was just that's what was going on around me at the time, myself at the time. Because remember, I was born in '59. So I was coming right into the 60s, I was right up in that thing, and it's what I heard in my environment, 60s and 70s, the thing was taking a turn. There was just so many different styles, and I just somehow tried to accumulate, soak up as much of it as I could, and put it into my own style, into my context. Which a lot of people didn't agree, because they said, you can't mix jazz with blues, you can't mix rock. Come on, people do it every day, all the time. They just come up with different styles, and I just so happen to be one of those people that hear music differently.
Being a musician is like being an entrepreneur, where you are running your own business, etc. What advice do you have to our listeners, or for someone that's looking to break into the music industry and make it a career they like to pursue? What would you have to tell them?
You'd have to have lots of time. You definitely have to have the passion to keep it up, because I guess a lot of times that's what get on, take a lot of people out of it or make them want to stop or do something else. Of course, you have to make a living, you know, even though you're playing the music. Financially, you have to be somewhat stable in order to stay in it, because it doesn't always pay you the best. And always, you know, just there's times when things are just not going to be so good, and you just have to have that passion to keep moving forward and stick with it. And because if you love it, then that's just what it is.
How has the music industry changed? I know you mentioned you came from the early 60s and so forth. How has it changed from when you first got started?
It's evolved. You know, you think we had the disco and we just had rock. There was just so many different styles of music when I was growing up. Because, like I said, when you think of, I was born in 1959. I was born right at 60, the 1960. So I kind of like, you know, stumbled through that thing because I was at my learning stages at like 8 and 9 years old, 10, 11. By the time I was 12, I had heard so many different styles of music, types of music, until I didn't know which one I really wanted to play because I liked them all. I liked them all because I had the passion, I had the love for music.
What are some of the current projects that you're working on and recent CDs that have been released?
Okay, I just finished a double jazz album. The title is Beyond the Burning Guitar. Also, I finished a single about 8-9 months later, which is The Sweet Taste of Guitar. Now, I'm currently working on another CD, a third one, which should be out around the first of the year, around January. It should be out.
What are some of your best memories opening for legends like B.B. King, Santana, Buddy Guy, George Benson? Tell me about that.
Well, it was all fun for me because, you have to remember, Pine Top Perkins was the first guy that discovered me and said, hey, this kid's good. I mean, Pine Top was, because he had played with Muddy Waters forever. So he was actually, formed his own group, which was a legendary blues band, which was Muddy Waters' band at one time. Pine Top just took those guys. They got together and they just did some tours in America, and then we did some European tours. Now, the best memory that I have is being out there with Pine Top. He was already 68 years old. I was like 19 or 20 or something. I was a baby, still a baby. And they took me all over the place, and I just had a blast. So shortly after that, before I could get back to America, get back home, I got calls from promoters and all kinds of stuff. Hey, Melvin, I want you to come back over here with your own band. Wow, they were crazy about me, man. And that's how I ended up doing the two CDs for albums then for the record company Isabel, a French label, Isabella. And I would open for B.B. King every night, basically. Then George Benson, all the guys would come through, the Buddy Guys and the Santanas and just all the guys, everybody that was out there, you know, I would be, they would put me on the show with them, you know, to open up. And that was an experience for me because my coming from the west side of Chicago, you know, where all the guys, that's when the blues and all that different kinds of music was like on its way, sort of, I would just say, now out, because it wasn't as popular as it was back in the 30s, you know, coming up to that time.
Incredible. Now, today we're joined by Melvin Taylor, one of the greatest guitarists in the history of rock, blues, and jazz. You'll be able to understand that a little more and believe what I'm telling you when you hear a clip of his music a little later in the show. I know you're popular here in the U.S. and as well as in Europe. How do European and American audiences differ, and what does jazz mean to Americans, and how does it differ to what Europeans may or may not feel?
Well, I think, my opinion is the Europeans, they're more open to blues and jazz music because, you know, I guess they are more laid back, or more old-fashioned, more traditional. You know, because some countries in Europe, you know, as you know, they still have the same walkway. Everything's the same. The same small little street, the same little shops. The same, you know, everything is more family-oriented and more traditional. So when they hear, like, roots music and all this, they gravitate toward it more, I'm sorry. I would have to say, then, you know, most American audiences, because the American audience now, is there's so much stuff being put out before them, and then the music is not, jazz and blues music is still popular, but it's not as popular as it should be. It just doesn't get the credit or the airplay or whatever else it needs to keep it up, you know, out there. I mean, as much as some of the pop music, some of the latest music. You understand what I'm saying? It's a trend.
Totally understand what you're saying. Definitely seen it change over the years. Now, tell us about your recent memorable experience in Europe and how the crowd and audience reacted to your great music.
I was recently in Kiev, Ukraine, and they love it, man. The audience, they love it. Did a 5-city tour and a few master classes. They just love it. Anytime you go there, it's open arms. Well, I guess I would have to say, if my memory serves me right, they don't get as much of it as we get. See, over here, it's here. It's everywhere, basically. If you can go find a small club, find some, you know, joints where they're doing it at, because this is where it's from.
Exactly.
So when you go over there, it's like it's a treat for them. Wow, this is great. Then you could probably come back here and not even find a gig for a while, because it's so much of it. It's a lot of it. You know, at one time, there was more blues clubs and more jazz. There was much more than there are now. So, you know, it was more broad. Now everything is changing. You know, like we just said a moment ago. We spoke on that a moment ago, how all the clubs closed down. They go out of business. You know, the music changed, and it's not, you know, you don't have guys that's doing a lot of clubs. Like it used to be a time, the guys would tell me, Otis Rush and those guys would tell me, you can go and find 30, 40 clubs, all, and everybody's playing in them. Now, it's not like that.
And speaking of which, how do jazz musicians and artists compete with today's music culture, and where it seems it's all about what you wear and how you look and not about the music you produce like in jazz? Isn't that something?
Yeah, it seems like it's all about fashion now. It's, you know, you got to have a video, and there's a certain something you have to do, and you have to, you know, I don't know. It's more now about vision, fashion, rather than sound. Because now, not to take anything away from any generation or any style of music or whatever it is they're doing, but we all know the reason why it's not like it used to be, because you could actually be able to play and be a really good musician, and they didn't care how you looked. They wasn't looking at your, you know, because of course you couldn't see through a 45, you couldn't see through an LP. They didn't care. But now you got to have a video. You must have a video out in a certain way. You got to do this in a certain way. You got to do that, and you know, it's like, it's almost like as if the music is secondary.
It's ridiculous as well.
Hey, it's the truth, and we know it because we see it every day. Because if you have a great video, you don't have to be playing. You don't have to play real good. You look good, and you fit the bill. And you can play a little bit, just enough. Oh, he's in. Bring him in. He's just the guy we've been looking for. You know?
Yeah, what we're looking for, not what we're wanting to hear. What makes a great jazz artist, jazz musician, and a great guitarist? How can the greats spot them or hear them a mile away?
Well, that's, for me, wow, Eric, that's a pretty good one. Because we have this kind of thing, it's called a musician's musician. You follow me? Now, a good musician, know when another one's good and it feels good, but not necessarily do the people, because the people, they know songs and what they've heard and what they like, but a good musician knows that if a guy is playing a lot of good notes and it's hip and, you know, he's in because he's a musician, that we speak the same language. I'm sorry, Eric, it's a language. And lots of times we tend to lose the audience because if you become too complicated or too musicianized and just play all this stuff that musicians like and we want to hear these chops and this cool stuff, the audience is sitting there trying to figure out what is, you know, you lose them. You'll lose them because they're not, as I'm not going to say that, you know, I don't want to say anything bad, like they really don't know a lot about music, but they don't know as much about music as the musicians that's playing it, unless they are a musician. The majority of the audience, they're not musicians, they're listeners. If it sounds good, it must be good. I don't care how many notes you're playing, right?
I agree. Now, what are some of the most memorable concert venues in cities or countries that you've played in throughout your career? I know you mentioned the Ukraine, but...
Kiev was good. I did a theater in Kiev. In fact, there's some footage on YouTube and my website, melvintaylorsmusic.com. You can go there, and you can find lots of stuff. I mean, lots of stuff on me that I've done practically all over the world and here in the States as well, like the House of Blues, different places I've played. So you can find some footage. You know, it's not the best footage, but it's me.
Lastly, let me ask you in terms of jazz, where do you see jazz going in the next 10 to 20 years? And as the saying goes, good music keeps on playing and never fades away. But where do you see the jazz world and jazz music going in the future?
I would have to be honest with you. In my opinion, jazz music or any other style of music, it's just like anything else. It's like a tree or a plant. If you don't water it, it'll die. You know, and there's room for improvement in any music. That's why when guys like Al Di Meola took the rock style and put it in with the jazz, then they called it jazz fusion and a bunch of other stuff. So music will evolve just like anything else. The blues had a baby and they called it rock and roll. Right. So it's like anything else. You take music and you get the Cuban guys to come over and play with our jazz stuff and play some Latin stuff, and it all mixed in, and you got Santana and a bunch of other folks. So music is about networking, collaborating, and just getting together, man, and putting different cultures together and feeling the same language that we all speak in music. You know, it's universal. You can't say there's no bad music.
Then again, there's some music that we better not get.
It's probably not one of what you'd prefer or like to hear.
Yeah, exactly. You're right on the button. Folks, you have just heard from Melvin Taylor, one of the greatest guitarists in the history of rock, blues, and jazz, who has appeared on the same ticket with Carlos Santana, B.B. King, Buddy Guy, George Benson, Al Di Meola, and Chick Corea. And you can visit his website. I definitely highly recommend it. You will get lost in the enjoyment and the experience of listening to his music. And the website of reference is melvintaylormusic.com. And you can also follow him on Twitter at MLVNTaylorMusic. Melvin, it has been an honor and a great pleasure to have you a part of the E-Musician Podcast Show here today.
Eric, thank you so much, man. Thank you.
You are very welcome. Now let's listen to a little bit of Melvin Taylor's work called Steppers One. You've been listening to the E-Musician Podcast Show here on EPN.
You're listening to EPN. This is the ePodcast Network.